Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. We take your gospel-centered questions and try to answer them on this program. We also did a survey on our Facebook page a while back about topics that you would like to hear about. First of all, we want to say thank you very much for all of your responses. We've chosen a few of those topics to respond to. Today, we would like to talk about what the millennium is. The millennium will be a time of righteousness and peace on the earth. In Doctrine and Covenants section 101, the Lord has revealed that in that day the enmity of man and the enmity of beasts, yea, the enmity of all flesh, shall cease. Satan will be bound, that he shall have no place in the hearts of the children of men. Here's an interesting quote that we found from the teachings of President Harold B. Lee. He taught, quote, "It is not beyond the realm of possibility, don't you see, that if the full program of the church were inaugurated in the hearts of all of our people, all the people of the world could be reached. That would be the happy day when we could expect that the millennium would be ushered in. That's exactly what the millennium is expected to be," close quote. Here, too, is a quote from President Spencer W. Kimball on the beginnings of the millennium. He said, quote, "When Satan is bound in a single home, when Satan is bound in a single life, the millennium has already begun in that home, in that life," close quote. Elder Robert D. Hales in the April 1999 General Conference talks about strengthening our families as we prepare for the millennium.
Countless things can be done within the walls of our home to strengthen the family. May I share a few ideas that may help identify the areas that need strengthening in our own families? I offer them in the spirit of encouragement, knowing that each family and each family member is unique. Make our homes a safe place where each family member feels love and a sense of belonging. Realize that each child has varying gifts and abilities. Each is an individual requiring special, loving care. Remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath. When my sweetheart and I were sealed in the Salt Lake Temple, Elder Harold B. Lee gave us wise counsel. When you raise your voice in anger, the spirit departs from your home. We must never, out of anger, lock the door of our home or lock our hearts to any of our children. Like the prodigal son, our children need to know that when they come to themselves, they can turn to us for love and counsel. Spend individual time with our children, letting them choose the activity and the subject of conversation. Block out distractions. Encourage our children's private religious behavior, such as personal prayer, personal scripture study, and fasting for specific needs. Measure their spiritual growth by observing their demeanor, their language, and conduct towards others. Pray daily with our children. Read the scriptures together. Remember the words of living prophets and other inspiring articles for children, youth, and adults in church magazines. We can fill our homes with the sound of worthy music as we sing together from the hymn book and the children's songbook. Hold family evening every week. As parents, we are sometimes too intimidated to teach or testify to our children. I have been guilty of that in my own life. Our children need to have us share spiritual feelings with them and to teach and bear testimony to them. Show that we sustain and support church leaders. By word and example, teach moral values and commitment to obeying the commandments. Teach our children the significance of baptism and confirmation, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, partaking of the sacrament, honoring the priesthood, and making and keeping temple covenants. They need to know the importance of living worthy of a temple recommend and preparing for a temple marriage. If you have not yet been sealed in the temple to your spouse or children, work as a family to receive temple blessings. Set temple goals as a family. Be worthy of the priesthood which you hold, brethren, and use it to bless the lives of your family. Through the power of the Melchizedek priesthood, dedicate our homes. Know what our children are doing in their spare time. influence their choice of movies, television, programs, and videos. If they are on the internet, know what they are doing. Help them see the importance of wholesome entertainment. Young women, attend Relief Society when you reach your 18th birthday. Some of you may be reluctant to make that transition from the young women. You may fear that you won't fit in. My young sisters, this is not the case. There is much in Relief Society for you. It can be a blessing to you throughout your life. Young men, honor the Aaronic priesthood. It is the preparatory priesthood, preparing you for the Melchizedek priesthood. Become fully active in the elders' quorum when you're ordained to the Melchizedek priesthood. The brethren, the quorum instruction, and the opportunity to serve others will bless you and your family throughout your life. Every family can be strengthened in one way or another if the Spirit of the Lord is brought into our homes and we teach by His example.
That's Elder Robert D. Hales. We're talking a little bit about the topic of the millennium. During the millennium, all people on earth will be good and just, but many will not have received the fullness of the gospel. Consequently, members of the church will participate in missionary work. Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, taught about the millennium and the restoration in these words, saying, quote, "When that time shall come, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Wickedness shall be destroyed, for with righteousness shall Jehovah judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. In that day there shall be no divided Christianity. All who will not repent and receive the gospel shall soon be removed, and they who shall remain shall learn to worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth. The Church of Jesus Christ shall have sway over all the earth, for Christ shall be the King and Deliverer. Peace shall prevail both among men and among beasts. Satan shall be bound, and his dominion, which he has held by usurpation and fraud since the beginning of the earth's temporal existence, shall come to an end. The rightful King shall reign, and his saints shall possess the kingdom according to the vision of Daniel. Jerusalem shall become a righteous city when Israel is gathered and redeemed. Zion also shall be cleansed of all iniquity. And in that day when Christ shall rule, the word of the Lord to Isaiah shall be fulfilled. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Close quote. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the April 2004 General Conference, talks about preparation for the millennium.
We need to make both temporal and spiritual preparation for the events prophesied at the time of the second coming. And the preparation most likely to be neglected is the one less visible and more difficult, the spiritual. A 72-hour kit of temporal supplies may prove valuable for earthly challenges. But as the foolish virgins learned to their sorrow, a 24-hour kit of spiritual preparation is of greater and more enduring value. We are living in the prophesied time when peace shall be taken from the earth, and when all things shall be in commotion, and men's hearts shall fail them. There are many temporal causes of commotion, including wars and natural disasters, but an even greater cause of current commotion is spiritual. Viewing our surroundings through the lens of faith and with an eternal perspective, we see all around us a fulfillment of the prophecy that the devil shall have power over his own dominion. Our hymn describes the foe in countless numbers, marshaled in the ranks of sin, and so it is. Evil that used to be localized and covered like a boil is now legalized and paraded like a banner. The most fundamental roots and bulwarks of civilization are questioned or attacked. Nations disavow their religious heritage. Marriage and family responsibilities are discarded as impediments to personal indulgence. The movies and magazines and television that shape our attitudes are filled with stories or images that portray the children of God as predatory beasts, or at best as trivial creations pursuing little more than personal pleasure. And too many of us accept this as entertainment. The men and women who made epic sacrifices to combat evil regimes in the past were shaped by values that are disappearing from our public teaching. The good, the true, and the beautiful are being replaced by the no good, the whatever, and the valueless fodder of personal whim. Not surprisingly, many of our youth and adults are caught up in pornography, pagan piercing of body parts, self-serving pleasure pursuits, dishonest behavior, revealing attire, foul language, and degrading sexual indulgence. An increasing number of opinion leaders and followers deny the existence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and revere only the gods of secularism. Many in positions of power and influence deny the right and wrong defined by divine decree. Even among those who profess to believe in right and wrong, there are them that call evil good and good evil. Many also deny individual responsibility and practice dependence on others, seeking, like the foolish virgins, to live on borrowed substance and borrowed light. All of this is grievous in the sight of our Heavenly Father, who loves all of His children and forbids every practice that keeps any from returning to His presence. What is the state of our personal preparation for eternal life? The people of God have always been people of covenant. What is the measure of our compliance with covenants, including the sacred promises we made in the waters of baptism, in receiving the holy priesthood, and in the temples of God? Are we promisers who do not fulfill and believers who do not perform? Are we following the Lord's command, "Stand ye in holy places and be not moved until the day of the Lord come, for behold, it cometh quickly"? What are those holy places? Surely they include the temple and its covenants faithfully kept. Surely they include a home where children are treasured and parents are respected. Surely the holy places include our posts of duty assigned by priesthood authority, including missions and callings faithfully fulfilled in branches, wards, and stakes. As the Savior taught in His prophecy of the second coming, "Blessed is the faithful and wise servant who is attending to his duty when the Lord comes." As the prophet Nephi taught of that day, "The righteous need not fear." And modern revelation promises that the Lord shall have power over His saints. We are surrounded by challenges on all sides, but with faith in God, we trust the blessings He has promised those who keep His commandments. We have faith in the future, and we are preparing for that future. To borrow a metaphor from the familiar world of athletic competitions, we do not know when this game will end, and we do not know the final score. But we do know that when the game finally ends, our team wins. We will continue to go forward till the purposes of God shall be accomplished, and the great Jehovah shall say, "The work is done." Wherefore, the Savior tells us, "Be faithful, praying always, having your lamps trimmed and burning, and oil with you, that you may be ready at the coming of the bridegroom. For behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I come quickly. I testify of Jesus Christ. I testify that He shall come as He has promised, and I pray that we will be prepared to meet Him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, a gospel-centered question, feel free to email us. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. You can also contact us through our webpage at radio.lds.org. We recently did a survey on our Facebook page about topics that you would like to hear about. If you'd like to send us a topic that you'd like to hear about, please go to facebook.com/Mormon Channel. Members of the church will also participate in temple work during the millennium. The saints will continue to build temples and receive ordinances in behalf of their kindred dead. Guided by revelation, they will prepare records of their ancestors all the way back to Adam and Eve. Temple work in the millennium will be no small feat. Listen to the third prophet of our dispensation, President John Taylor, talk about temples in the millennium. He said, quote, "We read sometimes about the millennium, but what do we know about it? It is a time when this work will be going on, and temples, thousands of them, will be reared for the accomplishment of the objects designed, in which communications from the heaven will be received in regard to our labors, how we may perform them, and for whom. This is the work devolving upon us. Close quote. Brigham Young also commented on the temple work we will be doing in the millennium, saying, quote, "We are trying to save the living and the dead. The living can have their choice, the dead have not. Millions of them have died without the gospel, without the priesthood, without the opportunities that we enjoy. We shall go forth in the name of Israel's God and attend to the ordinances for them. And through the millennium, the thousand years that people will love and serve God, we will build temples and officiate therein for those who have slept for hundreds and thousands of years, those who would have received the truth if they had the opportunity. We will bring them up and form the chain entire back to Adam," close quote. Elder Russell M. Nelson in the April 2008 General Conference talks about the importance of temple work for our ancestors.
Any discussion of family responsibilities to prepare for exaltation would be incomplete if we included only mother, father, and children. What about grandparents and other ancestors? The Lord has revealed that we cannot become perfect without them. Neither can they be without us be made perfect. Sealing ordinances are essential to exaltation. A wife needs to be sealed to her husband. Children need to be sealed to their parents. And we all need to be connected with our ancestors. What about those who are not able to marry in this life, or those who cannot be sealed to their parents in this life? We know that the Lord will judge each of us according to the desires of our hearts as well as our works, and that the blessings of exaltation will be given to all who are worthy. We as children of the covenant are highly favored. In our hearts have been planted the promises made to fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord has said, "Ye are lawful heirs according to the flesh, and have been hid from the world with Christ in God. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye continue in my goodness, a light unto the Gentiles, and through this priesthood, a Savior unto my people Israel." This life is the time to prepare for salvation and exaltation. In God's eternal plan, salvation is an individual matter. Exaltation is a family matter. As children of the covenant, we have met in this morning's solemn assembly. Attention has been focused upon the sacred titles of prophets and apostles. But the final responsibility to prepare for salvation and exaltation rests upon each person, accountable for individual agency, acting in one's own family, bearing another sacred title of mother, father, daughter, son, grandmother, or grandfather. In those responsible roles, may we go forward in faith led by Jesus Christ, whose church this is, and by his prophet through whom he speaks. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. We did a survey on our Facebook page. You can always go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Mormon Channel. And we ask you about some of the topics that you'd like us to talk about. You can also send us topics in by emailing us at radio@ldschurch.org, or you can always go to our website homepage at radio.lds.org. We're talking about the millennium. Complete righteousness and peace will continue until the end of the thousand years, when Satan shall be loosed for a little season, that he may gather together his armies. The armies of Satan will fight against the hosts of heaven, who will be led by Michael, or Adam. Satan and his followers will be defeated and cast out forever. That according to Doctrine and Covenant section 88. We do not know when the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur, which will usher in the millennium, but we do know it is coming. President Wilford Woodruff bore a powerful testimony about the times leading up to the coming of Christ and the millennium to come thereafter. He said, quote, We are living in the dispensation and generation to which Jesus referred, the time appointed by God for the last 6,000 years, through the mouth of all of the prophets and inspired men who have lived and left their sayings on record, in which his Zion should be built up and continue upon the earth. These prophecies will have their fulfillment before the world, and all who will not repent will be engulfed in the destructions which are in store for the wicked, if men do not cease from their murders, whoredoms, and all the wickedness and abominations which fill the black catalog of the crimes of the world. Judgment will overtake them, and whether we are believed or not, these sayings are true. And I bear my testimony as a servant of God and as an elder in Israel to the truth of the events which are going to follow very fast on each other. Close quote. Elder Marvin J. Ashton in the October 1989 General Conference talks about the generation of people before the second coming.
I share with you a statement of President Benson's made to a gathering of youth in Southern California after he became president of the church. Quote, "For nearly 6,000 years, God has held you in reserve to make your appearance in the final days before the second coming. Every previous gospel dispensation has drifted into apostasy, but ours will not. God has saved for the final inning some of his strongest children who will help bear off the kingdom triumphantly." And there, he continues, "is where you come in. For you are the generation that must be prepared to meet your God. Make no mistake about it, you are a marked generation. There has never been more expected of the faithful in such a short period of time as there is for us. Each day we personally make many decisions that show where our support will go." President Benson continues with, "The final outcome is certain. The forces of righteousness will finally win. What remains to be seen is where each of us personally, now and in the future, will stand in this fight and how tall we will stand. Will we be true to our last days and our foreordained mission?" Close quote.
That's Elder Marvin J. Ashton. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please feel free to drop us an email. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. You can also contact us by going to our homepage. That's radio.lds.org. And you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.